grace and peace be multiplied unto you, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The final words of our scripture reading this morning are words that have been quoted in a wide variety of contexts and by a wide variety of people, almost since man first fell into sin, there has been an endeavor to become free, to become a son or daughter of liberty. Many wars have been fought, either to preserve a kind of system and slavery, or with the pure intentions of freeing individuals from their system or from the cover. The famous words of Patrick Henry, I'm sure, are familiar to each one of you, as in the midst of the Revolutionary War in 1775, in the Virginia legislature, he shouted, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the change, with the price of change and slavery? So bitter, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And again, people have quoted them again and again and again down through the centuries. When things looked very bleak and dark and foreboding during the days of World War II, it was President Franklin D. Roosevelt who, in April of 1945, tried to both create a new incentive for the American people to give all that they had to overcome the tyranny which was then prevalent, and to support with a new sort of enthusiasm the efforts of World War II, and he made his famous Four Freedom speech. Freedom from freedom to speech, freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. 1775, 1945, and the world has not been changed into any new kind of philosophy of freedom as a result. Hostages continue. The threat of invasion continues when individuals express a new kind of freedom. And in spite of all this, presidential candidates very often proclaim a new rhetoric about the freedoms and the liberty which they will convey to those who will vote for them almost since the beginning of mankind. System and slavery and oppression and change, and every fetter, prison, turmoil, and the endeavor to overthrow the oppressor has been a part of the world's history. And it is right within the midst of that kind of background that our Savior engages in dialogue with his countrymen in the words of our text. And what a beautiful clue there is when St. John reminds us that as he is speaking to some who were believing in him. And then he said these remarkable words. Then Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you live in my word, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will free you." And with these words, our Lord and Savior blocked all the of demigods, all the efforts of hostile individuals who are bent only on the suppression of their fellow men, and introduce something new. If you live in my word, you are really my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will free you. His word is nothing else but the gospel. It is not like the empty promises that individuals have been making with bullwhips in their hands, or with the revolutionaries who dreams of a brand new world that will be free of all prison and of all chains. But it is His word. That word used by the early church when they were described so beautifully that they continued in the Apostles' Doctrine. Those same words of which our Savior spoke on the day of His ascension, when He instructed His disciples, teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. For it is this word which builds and nourishes, and it is that word which disciples, and yes, that same word which frees. Live, if you live in my word, our Savior said, and in this He conveys once more the same thought that He expressed, I am the vine and ye are the branches, living, intimately united with Him in the word of truth. Pilate so strongly asked what is truth. And so is in and without the church, people today ask strongly what is truth. So you think you know the truth. So it is plainly represented by Satan himself. For he asked in the garden, did God really say this? And in serious doubt. But the truth of the gospel is what our Savior is speaking about. And it is in Him that the word of truth takes on a special meaning. Not an objective truth, not a truth which can never be discovered because of the evil and sin in the world, but a truth that you and I can see. A truth of the gospel which you and I can hear. For the truth was spoken by our Savior when He suspended on the cross, said, Father, forgive them. And as you and I again and again come penitently before that cross, and we confess our sins against Thee, we hear Him also speak to us with that marvelous response, your sins are forgiven you, go and sin no more. The truth of which our Savior speaks certainly is far more than that which is promised by a demigod or by some politician or by some military man. The Declaration of Independence, which was adopted with such fanfare in 1777, has not provided the kind of freedom and liberty which is so poetically described. And even in the midst of a violent and bloody civil war, the Emancipation Proclamation of 1862 did not provide the freedom which it purported to do. In both instances, and in many similar instances, men have fought. They have laid gasping and dying on battlefields as their blood was oozing out of their veins. Did they die in vain? Did they die to fight for an elusive will of the wisp that could never be attained? Through Christ's blood. That blood shed on Calvary's cross. There and only there infancy, and he says he has seen them. Only there is the breaking of the chains. Only there are the doors of the prison open. Only there, as he has reminded us again and again, we find that our sins are indeed forgiven, that our conscience is cleansed, and that our burdens, which we are so prone to accumulate day after day in our lives, are lifted. But what is more is that while the doors of prison are open for us, Satan himself, our old evil soul, who walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, is imprisoned. He is suffering. As Luther reminded us so beautifully, one little word from someone who can harm us none. That same word of truth which frees us binds our old evil soul. And how marvelous when we again look at that terrific Easter victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. No confetti on the streets of New York as the victory he came home. When he conquered death and showed himself as the victorious one in his own resurrection. Mind takes this truth, a speech of the gospel, and try to tell us that there is a new lawlessness, a new freedom that is ours as a result. There are others who have interpreted that this freedom means a lasciviousness, that I can do anything that I please. And it is within the context of these words of our Lord that again we need to look at this word of truth. And we see there that this freedom and that this liberty is the kind of freedom and liberty which brought St. Paul into prison. It is this kind of freedom and liberty which caused St. Peter to be crucified upside down. And as the Savior himself had already forecast or prophesied that he would, in his older days, no longer be able to walk about as freely as he did in his youth. Freedom, freedom, but not in terms of what the world describes it, but rather a freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a free access with our Heavenly Father, that the burdens of evil and of sin and of temptation have been removed, that death itself has been conquered, and that Satan has been bound so that he can no longer tempt us. St. Paul also reminded us, in this freedom, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The truth shall make you free. May that be your freedom and liberty now and forever. Amen.